numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning to you. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM Channel 158. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidley alongside.
Hey, how we doing? What's
happening? How you doing, man?
Pretty good. Yeah. Just a Friday morning in beautiful Las Vegas.
They're keeping the camera on us.
Cowboys in town.
Here early in the show because of some technical issues. It's sort of like Sean Hockley wanting to be on camera as much. This would be his perfect situation here. We'll talk about the Cowboys and the Lions here momentarily. But on the show today, as you know, each and every Friday, Fezzik, Felica, Dr. Bob, the football triumvirate, Chris with all of his college football plays of the week, Dr. Bob with his college football play of the week, Fezzik, everything on his mind from a sports betting perspective, then Paul Carr with some global football, Prem Picks, and World Cup draw thoughts this morning, which will not finish by the time we're off air, Kelly. Start, I think, in the third hour. And he told me it takes about 2 hours plus. Like, they do a whole show of it.
How is that possible? 2 hours?
Oh, yeah. 2 hours plus. He says favorite to go over 2 hours.
Where are we at on Selection Sunday these days? A half hour? An hour? Is that a full hour?
It's an hour.
That's an hour show.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
I think, CBS?
I'll allow it.
CBS does the hour, and then ESPN does 2 hours of bracketology. Also, Jordan Sherwood on UFC 323. We don't want to sleep on that as well. And Joe Pita. Momentarily. How about that? A Joe Pita appearance this morning on the show. He was in Survivor before the Eagles-Bears game. He put all three of his on the Eagles. So we'll talk about that. Yeah. Talk about that with Joe. And, you know, get his thoughts on some other stuff as well. Okay. About the game last night. Cowboys lose to the Lions, and they end up losing a final score by two touchdowns. In this one, 44-30, Lions take it. Lions playoff possibilities increase. Cowboys possibilities increase, according to Next Gen or NFL.com, depending on which win probability you prefer, who you trust more. It falls to either 9% or 6%. Before everybody like goes into a spiral about that, I have a different perspective on that. That's why I made the Cowboys bets before this game. In other words, if the Cowboys had beaten the Lions, all my bets were slam dunks. Right now, you're going to have to hit a jumper, a long jumper, but not like a 30-footer, just a 17-footer. We'll get to that momentarily. But this game last night was bizarro to me from beginning to end. It's 3-3. Dallas from their own 5, 3rd and 5 at their own 10. Dak sacked just in front of the goal line. Al, Kirk, Terry McCauley all got it wrong. They all thought it was a safety. But apparently not. Surprised to find out it was not. So Dallas,
Is it okay? By the way, can it just be okay to like not be so sure sometimes?
Yes, it can be.
Because like when I first saw the play, Gil, I was like, he was out of the end zone. That's not gonna
me
be
too.
Safe. And then when I first saw the replays, I go, oh, they're right. That's a safety.
I never.
And then by
like
the fourth replay, I was like, no, I'm back on the other side. I don't think that's a safety.
I never thought they were right about it. Anyway, Detroit gets the ball set up at the Dallas 42, 6 plays. Goff to St. Brown for 27, the big play. Let's just start with Amon-Ra St. Brown, who was questionable when we were on the air yesterday. Felt like he wasn't going to play, but then by the time I did the Megapod the boys, Detroit had gone out to 3.5 yesterday. You're like, well, I guess somebody knows something.
Yep, total goes up to 55.5. I said, I don't care, Gil, I'm playing the under, just like I said on the show.
If that was Amon-Ra St. Brown injured, good God, he looked good.
Yeah.
So anyway, Goff to St. Brown for 27, the big play. Now, that was followed by Jameson for 6. Remember, he stepped out of bounds right at the 1 yard line. And Jameson Williams, did you catch this? Then proceeds to heave the ball as far as he can the opposite way down the field.
I actually did not catch this. You were texting me about it. I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about.
How was this not flagged? That was the first weird part of this game, besides the safety and messing up the safety bar. He heaves the ball. He throws it as far as he humanly can. No flag whatsoever. I don't know. That's not a flag. Can we just ask for consistency on this stuff? Gibbs in from 1 out, 10-3 Detroit, 2:14 left in the first quarter. We get to 10-6 because Brandon Aubrey was just making everything.
Although, it's not like it was a third down or anything, right? And like the K ball needed to come in or anything, right? You're just talking.
Just heaved it.
I didn't know what you were talking about. You got to see.
It's just incredible. Detroit 3 and out after Goff. Now, here's one that went against Detroit. So it's 10-6 after Aubrey snuck in a 42-yarder. That was the close one. Detroit 3-and-out after Goff thought he had a free play. Do you remember this one?
It looked like
Cowboys had jumped offside. And so he throws it incomplete to Jameson downfield, and the whole crowd is like, "What the? How is that not offside?" Now, the replay wasn't quite as stark as it looked like in real time, but it still looked like arms were offside.
You and I have these conversations a lot when it comes to intentional grounding, when it comes to pass interference. I'm not saying, like you're talking about, on that replay, okay, maybe it wasn't completely 100% definitely offsides, but like, when does that ever get uncalled? Like, that's called every time. Like, oh, you got him to jump, the center snaps the ball, boom.
Never. I was shocked. I said it in my notes. I'm like, how in the world did that happen? Dallas start with a Dak to Lamb 37-yard play, but then they lose 16 on a Dak backwards pass that Ferguson covered up. Two plays later, 3rd and 21, Dak to Ferguson for three, hit by Jack Campbell. Fumbles recovered by Branch. Remember, it's 10-6 at this point. Detroit set up at their own 47. Detroit had short fields all night. Set up at their own 47, start with a hold and a false start. They just want to make the level of difficulty harder. So it's 1st and 25, no problem. Four plays, 53 yards, 1 minute, 48 seconds. Montgomery in from 35, 17-6 Lions, 4:27 left in the second quarter. Then Dallas, a PI at the 2 by Detroit, nullified by a hands-to-the-face penalty on the line of scrimmage. They have to settle for an Aubrey 55-yarder, make it 17-9. With just 50 seconds left in the half, Detroit goes 45 yards in 46 seconds, and Goff misses a wide-open Tesla. That could have been an extra score for a touchdown. They have to settle for a Bates 47-yarder, 20-9 at the half. Good God. Third quarter, Dallas, first play, down 11 already. 1st and 10, their own 30, Dak slant to Pickens. Robertson gets a hand in, deflects it into the air, picked by Derek Barnes. George Pickens... The Steelers were somewhere at home. The Steelers brass was somewhere at home yesterday, smiling smugly.
Yeah.
He didn't.
That's the guy.
He didn't make an effort for that ball. Full effort. There was two other plays where he was half-assed on
it. You know the one. The first one. I was telling Danny about this before the show. The first one where he had like an in-breaker that the safety came up and made a play on. Herbstreit was killing him. And I was kind of like. I was like, you know what? You could call it a business decision. I'm making that same decision every time, too. Because, like,
good on Herbstreit.
That's like make a catch or end up in the hospital situation. However, there was like five plays after that where Pickens did not help his case out at all.
It was at least three plays where it was stark from him. So Detroit set up at the Dallas 14. Two plays, Goff to Tesla from 12 out. 27-9 Detroit, less than a minute in the third quarter. You're like, well, this is going to be a blowout.
Yeah.
But it wasn't. Dallas 4th and 5 of the Detroit 9. Three plays after CeeDee Lamb got hurt and concussed and out. Dak to Pickens for 7, who fumbles it forward, by the way. Dallas got lucky that Tyler Smith recovered it. Two plays later, Javonte in from 1, 27-16. Detroit, 10:41 left third quarter. Then Detroit, Bates 52-yard field goal try blocked. Aubrey hits a 63-yarder, the sixth 60-plus yarder of his career. That was after Pickens was called for a pick, which set back Dallas, because, again, Sean Hockley was like, let me call it everything I see. 27-19 Detroit, 2:49 left in the third quarter. Then Bates hits a 46-yarder, make it 30-19. Now we're in the fourth quarter. Dallas, four plays, 70 yards, 158. Dak to Flournoy, wide open from 42 out, busted coverage, touchdown. Two-point try to Ferguson, 30-27 Detroit with 9:52 left. Dallas is now covering. With 9:52 left. But as was the case all night, two things. Detroit kept getting short fields, and Dallas, when it really needed to, the Dallas defense reared its head again.
Yeah.
The ugly defense. Detroit from their 41 after a 38-yard kickoff return by Tom Kennedy.
Way to go, Tom.
Five plays, 59 yards. After that, took 2 minutes and 35 seconds. Gibbs in from 10, 37-27, halfway through the fourth. Then Dallas, 3rd and 3 at the Detroit 12. Ferguson flagged for an OPI instead of Anzalone for a defensive PI. Campbell, this was a ridiculous sequence. By the way, I don't think it should have been PI either way.
It should not have been. It was a play on. No flag.
Shouldn't have been flag either way. Instead, it ends up 4th and 3, right in the wash. Doesn't matter. But then Dan Campbell declines the penalty, which I can't believe he does, because they do call PI on Ferguson. He declines the penalty, which gives the Cowboys, stays at 4th and 3. And the Cowboys say, that was a stupid decision. Watch this. We'll kick the field goal. I was like, what are we watching?
I don't know what Dallas was doing with a few of those fourth downs.
Dueling ridiculous decisions by Campbell and then Schottenheimer. Aubrey, 29-yard field goal, made it 37-30. And then Detroit from their own 49, because Tom Kennedy returned this one 42 yards. Oh, my God. Three plays, 51 yards. Goff to St. Brown for 37, followed by Gibson from 13. 44-30, and that would be the final score. But the only other thing of note, Dallas would convert a fourth and 10 that clearly was past the line on their final drive. Officials make the error, rule Flournoy short. It's reversed, but because it had to be an official review from the booth, the Cowboys are forced to take a 10-second runoff for the official's error. It didn't matter in the end because Dak then four plays later threw a pick to DJ Reed. But what are we doing with that rule?
I don't know. Man, you and I were talking about it a little bit before the show. It didn't feel, at least to me, it didn't feel like the thumb was on the scale and that it went one way or the other. But oh my God, it's the classic, the refs knew they were on TV last night. They decided to insert themselves anytime possible.
Oh my God, was that bad. I want, again, Next Gen Stats and NFL.com, depending on who you believe, 9%, 6% chance the Cowboys' playoff chances are reduced to. But I just want to say this. The Eagles better beat the Chargers on Sunday. Because if the Eagles lose to the Chargers, then it really is a four-game sprint in the NFC East where all the Cowboys have to do is beat the Eagles by one, because remember, they have a tie in there.
Yep.
And the Cowboys get... Okay, the Eagles get at Buffalo and two games against Jaden. Cowboys only have a home Chargers and one against Jaden. So you never know.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Want to bet smarter? Start with smarter insights. Right now you can check out Greg Peterson's college basketball top plays, First Strike Pods UFC 323 picks, and Steve Mackinnon's Week 14 NFL best bets. Later today, you can check out Zach Cohen's NBA picks and props, Jonathan Davis's NHL top plays, and Wes Reynolds and Matt Eumanns have their best bets for college football. We have extended our Black Friday special until Sunday. That's this Sunday. Get full access to everything we do until May 1st for only $60. Go to visa.com/subscribe now.
People, Sunday.
People complain about Christmas starting too early. We take Black Friday and we extend it the other direction.
That's right.
It's what we do. We get tweets beating the book. This is from Paul M., who's echoing what I was saying earlier about Pickens. He says, for all those peeps, for example, media and others talking about Pickens getting a boatload of money next year, last night was a nice view of the dark side. By the way, are we sure his numbers aren't related to having Lamb on the field at the same time? Numbers not good without.
Gil, I think you'll agree with me here. I think he's the perfect wide receiver for the Dallas Cowboys. You know, he can be flashy sometimes. You can have a game like that last night. Perfect wide receiver for the Dallas Cowboys.
Bob C-137. Ref should have to go in front of the mic after games. I'm sticking with it. They're going to make mistakes, obviously, and they get paid to do a job and should be accountable for big mistakes, just like the rest of us. Yeah. Just a couple of things I said at the end of that last before we get to Joe Pita here. That 10-second runoff thing, yeah. Mike, is the worst rule. I know I say the fumble through the end zone is. That's the most illogical rule in football. It's not the Cowboys' fault. You messed up that you take 10 seconds off, whatever team that would apply to. And then I will say the Cowboys thing again. While everybody's saying they have single-digit playoff chances, the Eagles better beat the Chargers this weekend. Because otherwise, that ain't no single-digit playoff chance for the Dallas Cowboys. Then it's almost on their racket at that point. Not quite. But almost on their right.
So interesting. I want to follow up that with, I was checking through some odds this morning on everything. So Lions with the win to make the playoffs move from +115 to -150. So they're favorites now. Cowboys just to make the playoffs move from 3-1 to 7-1. And then you have Eagles move from -1800 to -4000 to make the playoffs. But the move is not as big in the NFC East. As you're talking about.
The biggest single move for any game this week in terms of outcome. Any idea which game affects playoff possibility the most?
Steelers-Ravens
by far the most.
Yes, caught that from Shots the other day.
Steelers-Ravens, 92 points of combined leverage, meaning depending on the outcome, Ravens win. They shoot up to over 80% from, I think, like 30-some percent to 80% to make the playoffs. Steelers not quite as dramatic in the other direction. But you combine the two, it's 92 points.
Yeah, it's huge. And then real quick on awards, Dak goes from, we saw him go all the way down to 14-1, back out to 50-1 for MVP after last night. Jahmyr Gibbs goes from 55-1 for Offensive Player of the Year to 10-1, right?
What did Dak do wrong? 31 of 47.
He lost the ball game.
For 376.
I know. He lost the ball game.
Yeah, you're not going to win now.
Not affected in the comeback player of the year odds, though, Gil. And that's what's most important on this show.
That's right. Someone might have an interest in that. Joe Pita joins us now as the author, of course, of Trading Bases, where he discussed his convalescence from an injury and transformed himself into, his passion into modeling baseball for betting purposes. Obviously also did a book on Masters analytics and, of course, the money ball for the money set, my favorite of all of his. Joe Pita joins us now from San Francisco, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line at Magic Rat SF on Twitter. Joe, good morning to you, sir.
Good morning, Gil.
I have one question before we get into your Survivor thoughts, because again, you had three on the Eagles,
yes, sir.
All three of yours on the Eagles. You have a Fernando Mendoza 150-1 ticket to win the Heisman. What was your thinking in getting that in buying that to begin with, and how do you feel about your shot right now?
Well, I feel great. 150-1 shot that's really a coin flip is nice. It really happened last year because my daughter was a freshman at Berkeley, and despite my Stanford alum status and my deep family's Stanford alum status, I started watching and rooting for Berkeley last year, and I said to my daughter, man, your quarterback is really good. In fact, he's better than the players around him. And on top of that, and she said to me, well, you know, there's a Mendoza burrito like right across from my dorm. And Gil, I have to tell you, it was the best burrito I've ever had. He's from Miami.
Yeah.
He's from Miami. His mom is apparently a Cuban chef, and he gave the burrito shop his mom's marinade, Cuban marinade for the beef. Oh, my. And in an otherwise Mission Street style burrito. I'm telling you, Gil, it was the best thing I ever had.
Wow.
And when he transferred to Indiana, I'm like, I got to support the burrito. And then from a football standpoint, Cignetti in Indiana reminds me so much of Harbaugh at Stanford when he turned that program around. And then in his second year and third year, he really promoted Toby Gerhart first. And then Andrew Luck, obviously, as Heisman candidates, kind of ran up scores, especially during the Gerhart years. So that's what I kind of thought was the, you know, the possible scenario for Cignetti this year. And I'm like, you know, he's trying to make a name for the program. 150-1 for a guy that I think was an excellent quarterback. I got to grab that. So that's how it came about.
I think if Indiana wins this weekend, I think he's winning it. I don't think you can keep it away from him if they go undefeated. I agree.
I really don't. If they win, I agree.
Okay. To Survivor, heading into Thanksgiving, you had three entries. And there was a scenario right after Baltimore lost. There was a scenario where you could have, if Philly had won, man, you would have been in great position in terms of the whole field, in terms of who had more entries. I think it was only maybe one person that would have had more entries than you did at that point. Let's go through this whole process, how you feel about your decision now and what your thinking was.
Yeah, so, Gil, I'm really putting this out to your audience, and to especially because I don't think you get enough credit. I know you like to use the word pioneering with Dr. Bob. I don't think you get enough credit for in 20 and 21 talking about this stuff when there was no other cottage industry that now exists around Survivor. And, you know, we came on in 2021 and the thought process you did with Jeff Parlay back in 21 around Thanksgiving. I now want to reach, and I was very sure of what the answer was then. I want to reach out to your audience now. I mean, you've got three very smart guests coming up later today. Felika, Fezzik, Dr. Bob. I know Cleve TA listens to the show. I hope he's hearing this. Maybe when you socialize this, if you put the clip on Twitter, we'll get feedback from the Survivor, Atlas guys, et cetera. What should have I done last Wednesday? Because I understand. Look, if you had one entry left, it wasn't as clean cut as 2021 when you had to take the Raiders. There just was no other logic to it. If you had one left last week, I think the Bears were a strong candidate. But I do not think it was obvious. And I have a graphic that I sent to you guys on what my steps are for choosing an underdog in Circa Survivor. And I'm not sure if that's up on the screen, but if it is.
There you go.
Yeah, I think that there it is. The Bears met 1 and 2. One, you have to be sure you'll be on an island with your pick. And that's almost true of every underdog every week. Two, you have to be sure that you're, quote, trapping a whole bunch of other people on a crowded island of the favorite. That applied last week to the Bears on both. But I'm not sure number three did. Number three is you have to materially increase your odds of scooping the pot. And this is why, like, I know we kind of laughed, or you talked about in week one, like the moron who took the Tennessee Titans when everybody, you know, when you knew Denver was going to be the biggest pick. Well, 1 and 2 applied, but 3 absolutely did not. And that's why you don't do it in week one. And in the case of the Bears, it more or less applies if you had 900 people left and you assumed 55% were going to take the Eagles, that's 500. You know, having the Bears with a chance of 1 in 400 afterwards kind of made sense from one. But now I'm asking the audience, I'm asking anybody who has input on this. I had 3 entries left. I estimated that 55% of the people would take the Eagles, which they did. If I had put 1 on the Bears and 2 on the Eagles, that in a vacuum, I was worse off no matter what happened. Just in a vacuum of that game, because I had 3 and 900 to start. And if the Eagles won, I was going to have 2 of 875. And if the Bears won, I was going to have 1 in 400, both of which are worse than 3 in 900. Now, I did play out all 16 scenarios, et cetera, and look. And yes, the Bears. So the answer is, should have I put all 3 on the Bears? That seems insane, right? So, and I did play out all 16 scenarios. And yes, the Bears were mildly better EV by about 9%. But on a $20,000 intrinsic value, that's worth, what, like $200? That's nothing. So what should have I done? That's sort of my question. Okay. I would love, you know, I know I have to run, but I would love your thoughts in future segments and what other people think, and anybody that replies, you know, because you have the best listeners in the game.
Joe Pita, everybody. Thank you, Joe. Appreciate it. We will get feedback on it. Coming back with Paul Carr next.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on The Numbers Game, live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. Let's call his name. Let's put respect on his name. Kelly Bidlin alongside. We get tweets beating the book. This is from, The Better Life, Tim Lawson. Question for Paul Carr. Is Man U good? That's it. Just need to know. I can't tell from week to week.
Are we sure?
We'll ask Paul about this in moments. Jerry Robertson asking for a friend, Drew Didzik. He said, do you have last night's stat line for Austin Reeves by any chance? I believe 44 points is the correct answer.
Damn good. Yep.
Drew had touting it for most improved. Paul,
I would love to bore Gil to death later with the how that game ended. It was mind-blowing.
LeBron's mythical 10 points a game streak has come to an end.
He passed up taking the shot, Gil. He made the pass.
Well, you know, Kelly, you always make the right basketball play. That's what he said afterwards.
Nobody's going to talk about, though, the one possession before Gil.
Yeah.
One of the craziest possessions I've ever seen in a basketball game, where the Raptors made a bucket. LeBron James walks right to the bench like they're going to call a timeout. Half the team follows him. And Austin Reeves just goes 1-on-4 the other way and lays the ball in to tie the game.
Jeff Schwartz. On that fourth down play, the clock stopped on a change of possession. Once they determined Dallas had the first down, they had to deduct the 10 seconds. How long do you think it would have taken Dallas to get to the line and run another play? Probably less than 10 seconds. Also, Dallas could have called a timeout. We don't know what would have happened, right? Show me your Brits. Completely agree about the 10-second runoff. Lions lost the game because of that rule back in 2017. The Golden Tate game against the Falcons. James NTU 89. Did I hear Kelly right that Gibbs went from 55-1 to 10-1 for offensive player of the year? How soft And fickle are these markets. Pretty darn soft, pretty darn fickle.
That one's going to be chaos down the stretch.
Mark Hill, as a Bears fan, what you all missed picking the Cowboys. Thanks, I love the armchair quarterbacking afterwards. What you all missed picking the Cowboys or the Lions is the Eberflus effect. Oh, he's a Bears fan, I get it. The Lions know his soft defense very well. Gibbs up the middle at the goal line, virtually untouched. Cowboys got the flu. Andy V, please ask Mr. Felica a two-part question. Does Miami deserve to be in? I wonder what his answer is there. And two, if so, why are we eschewing Vegas power ratings like he loved to reference when FSU was left out 2 years ago? Thanks, I'll hang up and listen, he says. And Mark Hansen, just listen to Joe Pita. You should change today's show from Football Friday to Big Brain Friday. Oh, it is a Big Brain Friday. And we'll respond to Joe's thing in a bit. Paul Carr continues the Big Brain Friday. And he comes to us from, Paul, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter at Paul Carr, works for True Media Networks. Tell us where you are, sir, exactly.
I am at, I think it's the Manhattan Grand Ballroom in New York City, getting ready to do a World Cup draw show with Men in Blazers. So it should be fun.
Manhattan Grand Ballroom.
Men in Blazers. I mean, that's big time. Men in Blazers, like they're like iconic soccer guys, right? You used to work with them back in the day?
We go way back. I go back to their ESPN origins in 2014 at the World Cup. They had a little panic room at the World Cup down in Rio. They had good times.
All right. So thank you for making the time. We have three things to get to. The third of which is your picks. Yep. The second of which is this World Cup draw today. But first, you wanted to chime in on the my analytics rant from earlier in the week about the Eagles and the Bears.
Mostly, I just wanted to, my company works with a lot of NFL teams, so we get to kind of pick brains of analytics guys. So I'll speak to one team specifically without saying the name. Like, their process kind of goes along with what you have said, I think. So, they have their own EPA or win probability added models, similar to public ones. For a game, they will tailor it to specific teams. This defense is good, their kicker stinks, whatever it is, to, make some minor tweaks. And then for decision-making purposes, this team will tend to bucket things. So I'll make these numbers up. If it's, 5 to 10% or more to make a certain decision, that might be a green bucket. If it's, 2 to 5, where it's a little borderline, it's yellow. If it's 2 either way, it might be orange. And then during the game, they'll relay that to the coaches or the decision makers, who can then layer their own observations or judgment on top of that. Our O-line can't stop anybody. We don't have certain plays available, whatever it might be. So they try to put all those things together in the decision making. It's a lot in the midst of, you have 15 seconds to make a choice, but that they try to do that, take the numbers, and from there add the football sense of that game specifically.
Now that is what I want to hear. That makes perfect sense to me, right? Not this absolutism that we hear from people chiming in on gambling Twitter. That's exactly how you should take it. And I assume you're not going to tell us that team, but does it rhyme with? No, I can't. I won't even go into it. Okay.
It does not.
Was it AFC or NFC? Will you tell us that much? AFC or NFC?
No.
Okay.
You're smart, Paul.
NFL or no? Okay. All right. To the World Cup draw. This starts the World Cup draw, which the entire world is going to watch here. Besides us, we're the home country, right? We know what group we're in. But everybody else, we're going to find out here momentarily in an hour and a half. And you said this show lasts how long, Paul?
It's scripted for just over 2 hours. I will take the over on whatever they scripted at. I believe the actual drawing of the balls out of the pots won't happen. I think it's like 53 minutes in or something.
Oh my goodness.
Is pomp and circumstance and a FIFA Peace Prize they made up and all kinds of stuff.
Any musical act?
Oh, of course. Andrea Bocelli's going to be there. Robbie Williams, Nicole Scherzinger.
Robbie Williams and every international
The Village
thing.
People.
Oh. The Village People. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
What's more American than The Village People?
Robbie Williams and Nicole Scherzinger. It sounds like your generic international event kind of things. Do it. By the way, I'm a big fan of pomp, not so much of circumstance, if those two things are happening in tandem.
Yeah. Well, you're
going to get both. Okay. So what will, from a U.S. standpoint, how variant can this be, I guess, is the question.
Yeah. So as a host nation, all the host nations are always seeded. So they go in a pot with the best other, in this case, 9 teams in the world. So you get the big thing is you don't have to play them. So the U.S. will not get grouped with Argentina or England or Brazil or Spain or any of those teams. So the U.S. could be the best team in their group if they get a draw that's Australia, Scotland, New Zealand or something. They could be the worst team in their group if they get, say, Colombia, Norway, and a European playoff team. So there's just a wild range of outcomes here.
Is it your view that this is kosher, that this is above board?
Once they get to this point, yes. There's finagling, okay. You know, how are they going to arrange the draw and things like that, which is a little bit less so. Yeah, I mean, there's always, you get the stories, you know, the frozen ball or whatever it might be that.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but I think it's about as kosher as FIFA can be at anything.
About as good. What's the most non-kosher? The Champions League draw? Is that the one that always raises an eyebrow?
Some of those. Yeah. I mean, it used to just be how they would set up the draw.
Right.
Where the actual drawing is fine, but oh, this pot, we're going to put this team over with these other good teams. They don't have to play them or something like that.
Okay.
But that would always be a little like that they're just customizing it for whatever reason.
So this will affect, this is like a you know, pre-bracket of a Grand Slam in tennis, right? Like the mm-hmm. odds could be affected dramatically, but I would mm-hmm. imagine in an international tournament like this, even more so, right? You just described it.
Kind of. I mean, the X factor here is it's a 48-team tournament, so usually just the top two teams advance out of a group of four, but this time eight of the 12 third place teams are going through as well. Really? So even if, you know, if you're in a group with Colombia and Spain, and this is not a U.S. group, but some other team, and you're the clear-cut third best team, if you beat that fourth place team and get 3 points, you're probably still going to get through. So, and if you get through, then it's just the randomness of a bracket. So I don't anticipate the title odds changing too much. Based on the
I didn't know about the eight additional teams. Why did they decide to go that direction?
I mean, because they can play more games and make more money.
Yeah, there's the answer.
Steve's going to explain to us later why more teams in a playoff scenario is better for every sport. So stick around.
Steve Fezzik, who heard my rant about it earlier in the week mm-hmm. in college football, where the debate gets less. The debate takes less time the more teams you add in. So, right, if you're debating the 69th team in college basketball, the debate lasts for 15 minutes. Yeah. That's right. All right, Paul, to your three-pack of Premier League picks. What do you got?
I'll answer Tim Lawson's question first. Manchester United, no, they're not good. They're okay. Middle of the table.
Thank you.
I have them bottom 10 before the season at plus 330, and I'm riding that. But to the picks, let's see. Tomorrow, Aston Villa, double chance against Arsenal. I think this is a tough spot for Arsenal. They're banged up. Three of the top center backs might be out. A couple guys up top two. They have Champions League next week. Aston Villa's been playing better lately after starting really slow. They're up to third in the table, which I think is flattering, but they're still, you know.
Ooh.
But yeah, they've got some form back. Ollie Watkins scored a couple of goals for him. Better. So Aston Villa double chance, minus 110 against Arsenal.
Okay. These are all on Saturday. These are all tomorrow, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Pick number two. What do you got?
We'll go double chance again. Leeds, even money against Liverpool. Continuing to fade Liverpool. Didn't work on the show last week. Did work midweek against Sunderland. Liverpool has two wins in the last nine Premier League games, and they're the defending champs, but not really playing like it. Leeds is in 17th place, but their goal difference is minus 10, which looks bad, but their underlying numbers are about 12th in the league. So I think they're a lot better than that. They just took it to Chelsea at home, and Leeds has been much better at home this season, winning or drawing 5 of 7. So just keep fading Liverpool. I like the double chance here more than the straight win, just because Leeds is also dealing with a couple injuries.
All right, so double chance once again. Win or draw, two possible ways to win, in other words. Okay, yep. And then you have a total. Wouldn't be a Paul Carr segment without a total. What do you got?
Yeah, you bet. Tottenham Brentford over 2.5, minus 120. Tottenham's manager Thomas Frank was at Brentford the last 7 seasons, so this should be a fun one. Tottenham's conceded goals, 2 goals in 3 of the last 4 at home. They have some holes because of injuries and such. Brentford should be at full strength after resting guys midweek, so I think this will be open 2-1 either way, 2-2, over 2.5 goals, minus 120.
Paul Carr headed to Men in Blazers. Have fun today, man, and have fun with the draw. This should be cool.
Always fun. Let's go.
Appreciate it. Over 2 hours worth of draw coverage with little Robbie Williams in there. Let's go.
I was joking when I asked that, too.
U.S. in Group D. Let's make it happen. Coming back, the NFL, Week 14 next.
VSIN, the sports betting network.
Ready to boost your bankroll? Brocco's giving new depositors a 50% purchase bonus. Just use promo code VSIN when you sign up. Brocco's lines are live on our VSIN betting splits page. See where the action is moving before you bet. Turn your bonus into an edge with insight that matters. Go to Play Brocco, that's BRACCO, playbrocco.com today, and use promo code VSIN. We get tweets, beat of the book. This is from, Jason H11. Not going to lie, you two in your gray shirts have a Dr. Evil and Mini-Me vibe going on today. you're Dr. Evil, I guess, in this one?
They both do it. I don't know.
Or you're Mini-Me, I guess.
That was my first question, too, when I read that. Who's who?
I don't know.
Would you rather be Dr. Evil or would you rather be Mini-Me?
I don't know.
I don't really know either.
Dr. Evil. You're looking tight, Goldfinger, or Goldmember, whatever it is.
Tight.
Tight.
Tight like a tiger.
Auburnist. Oh, no, he said that too, Dr. Evil. Goldmember said it too, Dr. Evil. Auburnist, small nitpick, but why doesn't Paul Carr just say plus a half a goal instead of double chance?
Because it's listed both ways. But yes, it's we're probably at a point where most shops list it that way.
Also, double chance is just how the cool kids say it, man. That's how it works.
You know what? If you're watching at home, I'm going to start doing both on the graphic, okay?
Tom K. Will there be FIFA entertainment? I just read first team won't be picked until 53 minutes into the two-hour show. Good God, make it stop. That's what Paul Carr just told us.
Can I follow up with our off-air conversation?
Please.
Real quick? Because this is... I just stumbled upon this real late when we were talking about World Cup with... So they have World Cup futures up, right? All the groups are being decided right now. They also have top goal scorer up, which I noticed odds seem to be kind of bunched from what I thought. So just running it by Paul, and he agreed with me. Like, this is... There are certain guys on here that if they get put in an easy group, might be good bets now because they're going to get way shorter if they've got easy competition to play against. Holland, great example, right? Manchester City, top goal scorer is 12-1. Now, playing for Norway, I think, yeah. Like, they're not the best team, but if he gets put in an easier group, he could still rack up some goals. So, I got a few guys circled. I might be jumping in here.
And some of these names that we used to bet on in years past, Lukaku and Ronaldo, they all got old.
Yeah, we did have to check with Paul. Yeah. But like, are these guys still good or too old now?
This is from Gmar or Gamara, H. Ruff on Twitter, catching up on yesterday's show. Heard Crack's question on the no tax on tips. You do declare tips into income first. This is to ensure Social Security and Medicare taxes paid. Then you get to deduct up to $25,000 from income tax. Hashtag tax code radio. I shouted that out yesterday. Whenever you start talking taxes, I'm like, okay, this is fantastic radio.
Yeah.
And then Brian Schaefer, 31, who is an Eagles fan, clearly, who doesn't like my scenario because I keep saying, I'm like, look, as bad as the Cowboys win probabilities are being broadcast today, if the Eagles lose to the Chargers, the Cowboys are right back in it. Right back in it, because all they have to do is top the Eagles by a game the rest of the way, and the Cowboys' schedule is easier. And Brian Schaefer writes, we play the Raiders and the Commanders twice. Two awful teams. That was a shot at me.
Well, the big thing with the Eagles, I brought this up earlier with the odds movement, it's the... You're still right, where the NFC East
correct.
Is still going to be a battle, but you got, if you're an Eagles fan, you jumped from like minus 1,200 to minus 4,000 to make the playoffs after that loss last night.
Yeah. You just got to play better football. But if you lose to the Chargers again, there's at Buffalo still to come, and two against Washington beat you last year with Jaden, whereas the Cowboys only have a home game against the Chargers and one against Jaden. So I'm just saying the schedule. That game Sunday night is huge.
Yes.
Huge game Sunday night. Okay, to the National Football League. Do we only have one segment to get through all this?
Yeah, we do. I got two. I got a couple of quick comments, though, Gil. A couple of quick comments.
Please.
First of all, write it down on the list. I'm very glad. Have you brought up pomp and circumstance before?
No.
Because, okay, we need to add that one to the list. You're right. You've never heard pomp or circumstance, but not. You've never heard pomp by itself.
No.
It's always with.
Oh, you're talking about
and circumstance.
You're talking about
yes.
my broad daylight.
Yeah. I didn't want to. Yeah, it's like the broad daylight thing, right? And then God bless this city. I just caught it's rodeo week.
Oh,
who was it? Corbin with the appointments yesterday, the late night appointments.
Oh yes,
I just saw Cowboy rolling out with a couple late night appointments. Rodeo week in Vegas, baby. Let's go.
All right, week 14, National Football League. Those games that remain after last night: Pittsburgh at Baltimore Sunday morning. The winner leads the AFC North. It will be a bigger lead for the Ravens in terms of playoff probability if the Ravens win as opposed to if the Steelers win. But either way, the winner is atop this division. They play each other twice in a three-week span. Ravens are favored by 5.5. Lamar did not practice yesterday. Did not practice. I have this.
What a disaster.
I got the Steelers plus 6 here.
Heard you say it on the Megapod. I can't disagree. This is also heard Mike Somich bring this up on Sharp Money, and I think Matt said something similar to yesterday, or everybody really has. This just so depends on where you have the Ravens rated at, right?
Yeah.
I could see you talking yourself into playing the Ravens here. I could, but I'm with you. It'd be Steelers nothing. I'll be sitting on the sidelines.
I made that bet during guessing lines. Next. On this one is the, and again, so many games with huge implications this weekend. Next game is?
Let's go to Colts at Jags.
Colts at Jags.
We're going to go to the big ones
for
first.
The lead in the AFC North. Jags, 2-point dogs. I have the Jags plus 1.5. Didn't get the best of this either, but I just don't understand why the Colts are favorite. I really don't. But it comes down, again, it comes down to where do you have them rated?
Right.
I'll tell you where DVOA has the Colts rated third.
Mm-hmm. But Aaron did say yesterday, right? A lot of that data is just, it's season-long data, right? So it's pulling from a lot of early season stuff. This is...
He has Jacksonville 12th, by the way.
You know what, Gil? This is one of those weird games that happens a couple times a year where everybody, not everybody, but I have heard a lot of people that I have a lot of respect for, including yourself, immediately go to the Jags. And I usually on that, if I'm that's definitely the way I lean. Usually when I hear that this many people, I go and jump on that side. I'm just staying away. It's just the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Man. Either one of those plays, you think I'm happy with Pittsburgh or Jacksonville? The answer is no.
They're not thrilling ones.
The answer is no. I haven't made this bet yet. I don't know if I will. It'll be a contest pick. Bears are 6.5-point dogs at the Packers. Listen, you know me. I don't think the Bears. I think the Bears are the number one seed. May not even make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. But 6.5, we're starting to border on way too many points. It's going to be cold in Lambeau.
Yeah.
For the lead in the NFC North.
I don't think it's going to be a bet for me. We said this earlier in the week. Maybe it's a small bet if we see sevens hit the board. I do believe I saw a 7 at DraftKings yesterday, but that's back to 6.5. Probably a contest play for me on the Bears. The only thing that's holding me off from the bet a little bit more is this is same line, right, as what we saw Bears and Eagles last week, and I am I'm definitely more confident where the Packers are at right now than the Philadelphia Eagles. So that's one thing that's keeping me away. But this Packers team, they've struggled to cover these bigger numbers all season long. So I right now, nothing. If it hits 7, I'll be in lightly.
Green Bay weather on Sunday, 19 degrees. 19 degrees Fahrenheit. Bengals at Bills, implications for both, because the Bengals still looking up at the top of the AFC North, and they're saying to themselves, Selv, we can still do this. Only 2 games back right now. They're 5.5-point dogs at Buffalo, though.
Yeah, I've got nothing here.
Me neither. Nothing. In fact, this was the answer to the question. The game I want no part of on the spread is this game. 3 of us had this game.
I kind of want to say over, but the weather being what it is does factor in a little bit. It'll probably just be a big stay away.
Texans at Chiefs, implications for both, especially the Chiefs, who really only have one way in as opposed to 2. Texans could win division, theoretically, could get a wild card. Chiefs really can only get in wild card, not mathematically, but pretty much. Chiefs are 3-point favorites here. Is this the end Sunday night for the Chiefs?
Man, I hope not. I hope not, even though I have Texans division futures from preseason, so I should be a Texans fan right now. But, you know, it's always fun to watch Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs, right? I did play the under 42.5 earlier in the week. There's still 42s out there. I think that's good enough.
And that game we talked about moments ago, Eagles at Chargers Monday night. Eagles 2.5-point favorites. Jalen Carter out for the Eagles.
Yeah, what, surgery on both shoulders?
Mm.
That's a football player.
Justin
right
Herbert
there.
Still practicing as if he will play with the fracture in his non-throwing hand.
Sure sounds like he intends to play is kind of what the message is coming out of Chargers camp. I was looking to enlist it as probable. This was when I was really hoping I wasn't going to have to force a Eagles bet here, Gil. So if it looks like Herbert's going to go and Jalen Carter's out, I think this makes it easier for me to sit on the sidelines.
Yeah.
I thought if Herbert was going to be missing this game or really banged up, it was going to be tough to pass on the Eagles.
I mean, think how many games those are, including last night's, where it is just a massive.
Oh, we didn't go through the whole slate. Yeah, no. I just had Danny cherry pick the ones that are the most important. It's incredible. Yeah.
For time purposes, is there one of the other games that you like best, the ones we didn't mention?
From a betting standpoint, yes, and it is your – I made one more bet last night. We'll get through everything later in the show, but I did tie the Rams into another teaser with your Washington Commanders.
Yeah, I got the Commanders, plus 1.5. And again, Jaden Daniels – cleared full practice yesterday, but we will find out today if he will play. It has not been determined yet. And by the way, Mariota dealing with some stuff too, but it has not been determined yet. And I think a lot of Washington Commanders fans, like myself, are sort of like, do we really want to play? Does he really have to play?
Yeah.
But he's a football player. He's going to play if he's healthy. Don't know if it'll be this weekend or not at the Vikings, who have the highest pressure rate in the National Football League. But I'm on the Commanders as well. Coming back on a numbers game right here at VSiN.